And welcome back once again. It is time for Tuesday Go to Meeting. You know, back in the old days, they called church on Sundays was Sunday Go to Meeting. Well, this is Tuesday Go to Meeting at the Parish of the Patriots. Glad you decided to stop by once again, folks. If it's your first time stopping by, I think you're in for a treat. We do have a Christian-specific segment, by the way, a sermon, if you would. It usually hits around the halfway mark of the show, more or less. It's never exact, but more or less it comes in around there. And you know, you probably want to stick around and check that out. You're probably thinking, well, I'll skip all that. But you might be surprised. You might get something out of it. There has to be something. We're at episode number 163. 163 of these shows, folks. Doesn't come around from nothing. People keep coming back for some reason. I'm really glad that you do. This show is supported by you, the voluntary support of the listeners. There's no hidden content. There's no, you know, bonus premium content for people that subscribe or whatever the hell else. You get what you get. It's all there is. I just depend on you to get something out of it. To show a little love this way, it really makes a difference. We do have snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We got Monero. All that information's at the bottom of the description page here on Radio Albion. If you have a different cryptocurrency or drop me notes, whatever, the email address is down there as well. So, yeah, I encourage you. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. And with that having been said, of course, if we're talking about voluntary support from you, the listeners, we're talking about the listener supporter mailbag, GPD, just some dough for the show. Bless you and yours. That's from Mr. T, and it's always very, very much appreciated. Mr. T is one of our weekly supporters here at the show. Next up, really been enjoying the shows lately, Grandpa, and I hope everything goes well with your medical situation, and that is from Andy. And yeah, I really don't have a whole lot of updates right now on that front. Things continue to look good. Next week, I suspect I should, maybe. I might have some new info on that. I don't know. When I have it, I will pass it along. But just say that things right now as they stand are looking good, and I'm upbeat about it. I'm upbeat. So, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep on keeping on. 163. You know, it's tough. It's tough doing these shows, if I say so much. No, what makes it tough? You wouldn't believe how many times that, like, okay, like, I'm in bed asleep at night. I wake up, say, at 2 o'clock in the morning, gotta go to the bathroom, because the older you get, you know, your days of going all night without having to go to the bathroom come to an end, and you have to get up at least once a night and go to the bathroom. And I've got up and gone to the bathroom, and this happened to me the other night. And I come back to bed, you know, and I'm half asleep, you know, I stumble in there, go to the bathroom. Stumble back to bed, crawl back into bed, and I'm laying there, and instead of just fading off to sleep, I basically enter into I monologued an entire first half of a show laying there, and it was pretty dang good. I'm not gonna lie, I'm laying there and I have things rolling one after the other, laying there in bed 2 o'clock in the morning in the dark, and I'm monologuing a show in my mind. It's consuming. But the thing is, by the next morning, and I'm laying there thinking, man, I need to go to sleep. I don't need to be laying here monologuing a show in my head. But, it's so good. I can't stop. Things are just rolling one thing after another. Hit the next point. It's funny. It's entertaining. I'm laying there being funny and entertaining myself. It's so dang good. And the next day, I don't remember any of that. You know, I'm thinking in the morning, I'm going to get up. I'm going to jot that down. I'm going to jot some of that stuff down and use it on the next show. Next morning, I get up and stumble around. I don't remember none of that. And then showtime rolls around and it's time to start recording. And it's like, what am I going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? I wish I could remember that clever monologue from the other night at 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock in the morning, but it's not there. It's tough. It's tough to do these shows. We could talk about Ukraine. I'm so sick talking about Ukraine. Seriously, yeah, I'm tired of talking about that. We're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about people. We're going to talk about whatever. I don't know, just whatever randomness I feel like talking about. I just don't really feel like being zeroed in on Ukraine some more because it's all absurd. They just keep throwing more lies at us. I did see a story the other day. They said that, Joe Biden, the White House says that Joe Brandon will not rule out, you know, a presidential pardon for his son and his brother doing corrupt deals that meant a kickback for Joe Biden. He's basically pardoning himself. They're not ruling that out. you know, when people read that, Normicons read that, and they get all outraged. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it's better than Trump. Trump would just, if it wasn't about him, he would just kick him under the bus. I mean, yeah, it'd be outrageous. He's getting kickbacks off of these deals himself and benefited from it. And he's going to basically pardon everybody involved, because if he pardons them, they wouldn't have any evidence that Joe Brandon was getting kickbacks on the deal. So he gets himself out of it. What a great deal. But at least he's basically protecting the people that were helping him out. Trump, on the other hand, threw his supporters under the bus. It amazes me when I see some story, you know, read some story, and it's like, you know, something that Trump, latest Trumpism he's come out with. And it's like, at a huge rally in Georgia, Trump said whatever. Something about himself, because everything the man says is about himself. And I'm thinking, but what I don't find that amazing, because that's the guy's personality. That's who it is. That's who he is. But what amazes me is the part where he says a huge rally at a big rally. Who the hell still shows up? You know, I mean, who the hell still shows up for a guy that threw his own supporters that showed up in January 6th under the bus? Could have issued a blank pardon for those people, but didn't, because the media would say bad things about him, which, of course, obviously they're not doing now. Oh, wait, yes, they are anyway. But he thought there could potentially be, you know, some kind of negative feedback response might require some sacrifice on his part. So he threw him under the bus. Who the hell shows up for that? I don't get it. At the end of the day, it has to be people that still are in denial. They still think if we just vote a little harder, we're going to turn this whole thing around. Yep. They're NPCs. They're just as NPC as the leftoid NPCs. They're just an NPC in a different manner. If we vote harder, if we just get Trump back in there, they won't fraud the election this time. And we'll get Trump back in there and we'll turn this whole thing around somehow. And America will be this shining light on a hill instead of the cesspit of degeneracy that it is now. People go along with anything. You look at these people and they're running around doing the, you know, the Ukraine virtue signaling, you know, they're doing the Ukraine virtue signal. And it's just empty. You know, it's just whatever they're told to care about today. The direct correlation, the people that ran around and virtue signaled over coronavirus, as soon as the official narrative changed, it shows they don't believe any of that. You know, I mean, at the time they would be like, you know, you just don't care if you kill people with a deadly doom virus, wear your mask, bigot. But they didn't really believe any of that shit, because as soon as it switched over and the official new narrative that they were supposed to virtue signal care about is Ukraine, now they've forgotten all about it. They've forgotten all about the deadly doom virus. And when it switches back to deadly doom virus, they'll care about that again. I think it's one of the reasons I've more or less given up on the idea of quote unquote waking people up. You know, I used to believe in that, you know, we're going to get everybody woke up, but it's going to wake up and realize, and somehow, you know, I don't think you can wake people up. I really don't. Because people at the end of the day, they don't want to think, because to quote unquote wake up would mean people would have to think for themselves, and they don't want to think for themselves. They want to be told what to think. That's easier. You just check off a box. I'm team R. I'm team D. I'm team, you know, I'm team orange man. I'm team anti-orange man. You know, I'm team whatever isn't for Joe Brandon administration. I'm on team Joe Brandon administration. This is the easy thing. You just pick a team. You know, it's like how people watch these sports ball games and they pick their team, and you have the Cowboys versus the Redskins. Oh, wait, we can't have Redskins anymore. That's been deemed politically incorrect. The Cowboys versus whatever the hell they're called now. And you have the team and they have the fans and they're all in the stands and they act like they're participating in it. But at the end of the day, they got the easy job. They stand up there and wear their fake jerseys. They wear their jerseys like they're the team. They yell and cheer, and in their minds, they think that their yelling and cheering is somehow a part of what is propelling propelling the ball runner down the field. But they're just spectating. They just picked a team. And it wouldn't matter which team they cheered for. It isn't going to change the outcome of the game. That is how people are. They just want to pick a team and cheer for it. They don't want to have to think. They don't want to have to like actually put any effort. They don't have to think for themselves. They want somebody to think for them. They want to pick a team. And this team feels better for me, feels like a better fit. I cheer for this team. And that's the end of it. That's the end of it. Doesn't matter what the reality is. We talk about programming, you know, these people, it's like people are programmed, but you get that only works if you don't want to think for yourself. You don't want to put the effort, you know, into thinking for yourself. One of the things I've observed is, you know, here in America, especially, you know, because again, I can't pretend to speak for how people are in other countries. I read comments from people, you know, that are in Britain or Western Europe or wherever, all over the world. I read what people write. But, you know, that's still only a snapshot. You know, I don't know how much that relates to the general population in those areas because I don't live there. So I wind up being American-centric. I don't mean to be so American to make everything about America. That's such an American thing to do. But that's my experience. That's where I'm at. So that's what I can speak to. It is amazing to me that in this country, and this applies to whichever left or right brand of NPC you're talking about, they're unable. I mean, everything is Hitler. Have you noticed that? I mean, everything that they don't like has got to be Hitler. Yeah. I saw a deal and it was some sort of leftoid, a screenshot somebody took of a leftoid discussion. I think it was on Reddit or something. Somebody took a screenshot and it was this whole back and forth of whether or not Putin is, you know, where does Putin's evilness fall in on the scale of Hitler? Because it has to be Hitler, you know, and you see this all the time with normie cons, you know, everything has to be compared to Hitler. Everything is, oh, well, this is just like the Third Reich. As they take away our freedoms, they make it clear that we really don't have any of these things that we thought we had, these rights that we thought we had, these freedoms we thought we had. It's Hitler again. Oh, this reminds me of the Third Reich. You weren't around during the Third Reich. You're a baby boomer. You came after all of that. This just reminds me of the Third Reich. We've seen this before. Well, no, we haven't. You weren't even alive. And your understanding of history is nil. All evil has got to be Hitler. That is everything in this country. If it's bad, it's Hitler. If your city council does something that you don't like, it's Hitler. It amazes me that there's no ability to move on. They don't want to think for themselves. People don't want to think for themselves. They like being told what to think, and they're told that evil equals Hitler. So everything has to be equated to Hitler. We can't have a new, if this was sustainable, which obviously it is not, if it was, and like 100 years from now, some sort of alien invasion. You would have these people sitting around going, these aliens are just like Hitler. I don't know. Maybe the aliens would have like, you know, intergalactic masturbation machines or something. I don't know. You know, intergalactic roller coasters that shoot us off into the black hill for all 6 billion of us. I don't know. But it just amazes me. That's the only comparison. I mean, that is how limited their thought process is. They're not able to even consider anything on its merits or the facts surrounding any decision or any of this. And yet they spout about these things as if they're coming from some position of understanding. And their understanding is Hitler. Somehow this equates to Hitler. And regardless of which team the NPCs happen to be cheering for. You ever notice America is either the good guy or the villain based on who happens to currently be occupying the White House? It doesn't matter if the current occupant is doing the exact same thing as the last occupant. If the current occupant is a member of your perceived team, then it's good. America's on the side of good. And if not, then America is suddenly turning into Hitler. And is on the side of evil, even though if you're a thinking person, you look around, it's like, well, the same shit keeps happening over and over again. Doesn't seem to matter who's in there. It's funny. It's funny watching people, because with this Ukraine thing, you got these people that have no grasp, have no capability. You know, and I don't want to sound arrogant. I always say that. I don't mean to come off as sounding arrogant. But y'all, if you're listening to this show, I assume you're capable of some independent thought. That's why you're listening to this show. Otherwise, you would be like, does not compute. And your brain would go blue screen because you're an NPC. You can't compute these things. This requires independent. Just listening to this show requires independent thought, because you have to listen to these things that we talk about here that don't fit in to the current narrative. And you have to think about these things. You have to decide if Grandpa Dan is full of shit or not. You have to decide, do these facts line up? So I assume if you're listening to this show, you're capable of a certain amount of critical thought. But these other people, they're not. They're not. You ever notice that people have to have this like absolute sense of one side? And it's so funny watching them trying to apply this to things like geopolitics, geopolitical affairs, things like that. And this is highlighted with this current Ukrainian nonsense. They have one side has got to be the absolute good guys. It's this Hollywood mentality. One side is the good guys, and one side is the bad guys. One side are the super friends, and one side is Legion of Doom. That's some of y'all don't get that reference because you're younger than me. Back in my day, when I was a kid, Saturday morning meant cartoons. If you wanted to watch cartoons, there wasn't no Cartoon Network. You had to get up on Saturday morning and watch cartoons. And by 10 o'clock, 11 at the latest, cartoons were over. Now, you might get some cartoons in the afternoon during the week. Maybe. You know, there might be an hour or two of cartoons. You know, and like Saturday morning cartoons, you watch the Super Friends. You know, that's all of them. Superman, Batman. That was back before they were all doing, I don't know, this gay stuff that they do now. And, you know, the Super Friends, and then you had the Legion of Doom. And, you know, of course, you're the audience. You're supposed to be cheering for the Super Friends. They weren't teaching you to figure out maybe the Legion of Doom had some points. This is the mentality of the average person in America today. They got to have an absolute good guy, which they look at the Ukrainian situation and they have to decide, because in their mind, okay, you have Russia, you have to have Ukraine. Which one is the Super Friends and which one are the Legion of Doom? Who's the protagonist and who's the antagonist? Who am I supposed to cheer for here? Am I supposed to cheer for this side or that side? One side's got to be the absolute good guy. And the other side is only doing what they're doing, like the Legion of Doom, because they just do evil because they like doing evil stuff. Because they're evil people. That's what evil people do. They do evil things without any explanation, without any actual reasoning. Oh, you ever notice too, we go from these one crisis to another. Yeah, we do. We've got this, we're at this state now. We've had the nonstop doom virus. And now we're a nonstop Ukraine virus. We got the Ukraine. That's what they could show. The next corona, I hereby propose on this show that the next variant should be called the Ukrainian variant. Then we could just merge it. We just merge it all together. You know, I blame some of this on this 24-hour cable news, 24-hour news thing. You see, back in my day, we were going back to the Super Friends day. Like, if you wanted to watch the network news, there was one time to do that, and that was in the afternoon after you got off work. I don't remember, 5:30, whenever the hell it came on. And you turned it on. And you watch Ted Koppel or Dan Rather lie to you. But I mean, they at least tried to present it as like, you know, a certain amount of like legit news reporting. It really wasn't, but they did present it that way. And they had 30 minutes, you know, to tell you the big happenings in the world, what you're supposed to be afraid of, and then wrap it up with a human interest story that's supposed to make you say, oh, good, people are all right. They had to do that in like 30 minutes. And that was the end of it. Then came the 24-hour network news, 24-hour cable news. And now we've got all of it. We got the CNN, which was like the first one. We got CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. You just pick your team. It doesn't matter. And they're on 24/7. They got to come up with something. They love this stuff because they got to talk. They got to talk about something. They got to keep you tuned in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They don't have that much to talk about, so they have to invent some sort of breaking news, some sort of crisis. Your program, you watch it, and you're sitting there watching some skank that has no idea what the hell she's talking about, droning on about a topic. You know, she's obviously just reading a script. She's an actress who can't score movie roles, so she's a TV anchor. And she's droning on about something. Then all of a sudden, dun, 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 and you see breaking news come across the bottom. You're supposed to have this emotional reaction. Something's happening. We're interrupting this broadcast for breaking news. Okay, what? And they go back and say the same shit they've been talking about for the last 2 days. Breaking news. This person left their house. They were spotted leaving their house. The object of our breaking news was spotted leaving their house. What does this mean? Where could they be going? It has to mean something. Because they've got to talk about it. 24 hours a day. I don't think we fully appreciate how difficult it is for people on 24-hour, 7-day-a-week cable news channels. Imagine having to talk about it. I mean, I do this show. You know, like today. I don't feel like talking about Ukraine. I don't. So I'm just talking about random shit, just random nonsense, because I don't feel like talking about Ukraine. Imagine having to do this for 24 hours a day. Imagine if you having to listen to me drone on for 24 hours a day. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to run out of stuff to talk about, ain't I? So these people have to invent things to talk about. I'll say that again. They have to, because they have to talk about something for 24 hours a day, and that's not possible. That means they have to invent stuff to talk about to get you tuned in so they can sell advertising, so they can ostensibly make money. Although now it's more about pushing an agenda, but let's don't get off on that right now. They have to keep you tuned in for 24 hours a day. That means they've got to start making shit up. If I had to sit here and say, if you said, okay, Dan, this show has got to last for 4 hours, forget 24, for 4 hours. There ain't no telling what I'm talking about. At the end of hour three, you're liable to be, we're going to be doing, you know, in-depth anime reviews from the mediocre winter anime season. That's what we're going to be talking about, because I'm going to run out of shit to talk about. It's just not going to be interesting. They have to make stuff up. To make stuff up. I don't trust news people. I don't trust, you know why I don't trust news people? Not simply because, you might think just because they're news people and you know they lie, which is true. But there's another fundamental reason I don't trust news people on a fundamental level. I don't trust people that can smile on demand. You know, like I have a hard time. Like if people, if you ever look at it, if you take a picture of me, if you ran into me and you're like, Grandpa Dan, I'm a big fan. Been a big fan for you. Can I take a selfie with you? And I'm going to be like, sure, sure. And when you take that selfie, you're going to be disappointed. Why? Because I don't smile. You're going to be like, hey, can you smile for the picture? And I'm going to be like, no, I don't smile for pictures. I'll be like, okay. And then you're going to be showing up to be like, hey, look, I met Grandpa Dan. As if I'm that sort of celebrity. We're just having some fun here. And you're going to be like, who's the crabby old guy? Who's this crabby? I'm not crabby. But I don't smile on demand. I don't trust people that can smile on demand. You watch these news people. Watch them on mute. Okay, because that's what I do. Like in the mornings, I get my 30 minutes of the local news before subjecting myself to the 2 minutes of the network news. And for most of that time, I'm watching it on mute. The local news, I'm just watching it for the weather report. Because I know what the local news stories all are anyway. You know, there was some sort of crime committed, usually in Dallas. The suspect is described as the ever-elusive a man. And, you know, so on and so forth. I just watch it on mute. But if you watch this news on mute and watch the faces of the people on there, watch these anchors, watch these presenters, and you just watch, and they're doing some serious story, and they're sitting here with this serious, with their serious face on, you know, they got their serious face on, and then, like, they'll shift from that to some feel-good story about, I don't know, some guy playing football at high school, and he's doing really good, and overcame a disability, and all of a sudden, just like flipping a switch. Now they got this smile on and their eyes are, you know, they got their eyes bigger. So you're supposed to look like they're really feeling good and just all on demand. They got this smile on demand and they're supposed to come across. I don't trust people like that because it isn't real. Is it real? They're not smiling. They're not happy. They're sitting there thinking, I can't wait till my shift is over. I don't trust people that could smile on demand. They just sit there. It's like they go from the human interest store. Breaking news. Oh, we got a plane crash we can talk about. Yeah. All right. We can fill in another 4 days talking about this plane crash. But now they got to put their serious face on. This just in. Oh, I'm so emotional. They try to convey this emotion that they don't even feel. They're like mannequins. They're like really. They're just like automatons. And it's like, oh, time to put this face on. Put the mask on. I don't trust people like that. I damn sure don't trust them to tell me what's going on. I do. I hate 24-hour. I do, though. I hate these 24-hour news channels. They're useless. They're horrible. They're part of the problem. And you can't escape from them. I don't watch that shit. But you can't escape. If you go to town, say you go out to eat. You go somewhere to eat. They're going to have a... Why? Why do we have to have a distraction? I don't understand this about people. This is such a mentality that so many around. And you may have it. Some of you have it. If not, I can guarantee you there are members of your household, members of your family that are this way. They've got to have noise. They've got to have a distraction. I never understood this. I would work with people back in the day when I had regular jobs. And they would have to have the radio on. And if you looked at me and you're like, why are you listening to that crap? You know, they got it on. It's on some crap channel. And you would be like, why are you listening to that? And they'd be like, oh, well, I'm not listening to it. I'm like, well, turn it off. No, I like to have the background noise. You ever known people? And I guarantee you have. They get up in the morning. They go in there and they turn the TV on. And then they go about their business in the house. And you go in there and they're like, why is TV on? You're not watching the shit. You're in the next room. Well, I like to have the noise. Okay. People are comforted by the noise. This is the mental state because people are subjective. I've said this before. We have so much information now, access to so much information now. And the answer to that, because like if people were just able to go and find information on their own, it would be so much harder. It could be a real problem for the powers that be, you know, so it could be a problem for the status quo. So what they do is they just flood everybody with bullshit. Or as I prefer to say, with this like white noise of gibberish, you know, and they swamp them with this all of this different meaningless stuff. We've spent, 2 weeks now talking about Will Smith allegedly slapping Chris Rock. Whether you think that was fake and staged or not is irrelevant because I don't give a shit. But they have spent 2 weeks when they're not talking about Ukraine, talking about what happened at this award show that pretty much nobody watches anyway. See, you should have watched. You could have seen it live on TV and cared or pretended to care. But now people have to have that background noise, you know? You can sit there. Here's a fun thing. If you got people you work with that do that, you know, like they have a radio on and you know they're not listening to it, get there early one day and put the station over on one of the Spanish stations, you know? And see if they notice. They probably won't. They'll go in there and they turn the radio on. They go about there. And they don't even notice that they've gone from, I don't know, whatever they were listening to, the station they had it on before. And now the beat is all the same. Because for those of you who don't know, all Mexican music has that same, like, it does. It has that same beat. Like if you got a Spanish dance happening, you know, half a mile away to where you can hear it, you'll notice that all the music sounds with various accordions in the background. They're probably not going to notice because they're not even listening. They just got to have the noise. But they notice if you turn it off. If you turn it off, then all of a sudden it's like, the gears grind to a halt. Whoa, 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 whoa. Who turned the radio off? I've had it on the Spanish channel all morning, man. Didn't you notice? Well, I ain't listening to it, but I like to have the background noise. And they get all upset. They got to have the background noise. People do not know how to function without the background noise. And that's why now you go to you go out to eat and you go to a restaurant and sit down and you think, I'm going to go in here. We're going to have a nice discussion with my family. We can sit around with the family. You can sit around with your family at the table and enjoy a meal out. You know, nobody's got to cook or clean. It's just a treat when they go out to eat. Sit around. Just enjoy some quiet time. No, you can't because they got a TV up. You got a TV up with just depending on where you're at. If you're in L.A., you're probably getting MSNBC or CNN. If you're in Texas, you're probably getting Fox News. but you're getting some version of 24-hour nonsense news. If you're on Fox News, you know, if you're on MSNBC, CNN, you're probably getting some version of the Orange Man is still plotting to destroy our democracy and our values. And why can't Zelensky be our next president? If you got Fox News on, you're getting, I don't know, Lindsey Graham proposes, you know, carpet nuking Russia for our freedom and anal democracy. I don't know. You're getting some kind of gibberish, though. You're getting some kind of nonsense. It's like, and people got to have it. They got to have this stimulus. They got to have this background noise. I don't know why that is. Maybe if there's not a background noise, they feel as though they're going to be required to think, you know, and it's scary. If I don't have background noise, if I don't have gibberish, if I don't have static going on in the background, I don't know. I'll be forced to think for myself. And then they go blue screen. Blue screen does not compute, you know, just does not compute. They got to go into a shutdown. Don't ask me to think for myself. Give me some background noise. I don't care what it is. They don't care. They got to have the background noise. Got to have the gibberish. They got to have something in the background. That way they don't have to think. They have to have a distraction. There's no escape. There's no escape. There's background noise. Everybody wants the background noise. You can't go anywhere. They're going to have, somebody's going to have a TV on with the 24-hour news cycle. If you refuse to watch it, when you sit there and sit down, you look up, and there it is in your face. Lindsey Graham proposes carpet nuking Russia in the name of our conservative values of anal democracy or something. You can't get away. And when you don't watch it, you're like, people are consuming this. There are people that keep this on in their homes 24 hours a day. No wonder we have a nation of NPCs. They got to have background noise. They shut down. It doesn't compute. They're forced. If they don't have it, they're addicted to it. They're addicted to the static. They're addicted to the white noise. Because to not have that might actually prompt them to have to try to think for themselves. So I'm looking at the time. We need to get into the Christian-specific segment. Try to keep the show timely. Try to keep it more or less on time. You know, we got to do that. So, like I say, if you're new here, you might be tempted. You might be thinking, I ain't listening to none of that Christian stuff. You ought to tune in. The Christian-specific segment is it's a fun segment. I have more than a few listeners that sometimes send me notes saying, you know, I'm not really into the Christian stuff, but I listen to that. I enjoy it. It's just different. And if you are a Christian believer, you know, that's what that segment's for. It is for the current Christian believer. It's for you. And I think maybe you'll get something out of it. But either way, yeah, let's go ahead. We're going to head off. You know what to do. As I say every week, let's get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. So this week, I thought we would start off by asking this question. We'd kind of have a discussion and think about this a little bit and ask ourselves this question from a Christian standpoint. Which is more powerful, wickedness or righteousness, lies or the truth? Because, you know, and it's one of those questions that your knee-jerk response as a Christian believer is you're supposed to say righteousness and truth. Of course, I know, Jesus, you know, without actually giving any thought to it. But I think it's always important to give thought to these questions, which is more powerful, wickedness or righteousness? Now, of course, as Christian believers, we say, you know, victory is ours in Jesus. And we know that when Jesus returns, you know, we know how the game ends. We know this, we put our faith. But I'm talking about, generally speaking, which is more powerful, wickedness or righteousness? Now, this can be a hard question to think about, you know, when you really get down to it, because we look around the world today. And as it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, power is on the side of the oppressors, and for the oppressors, no one to comfort them. We look around this world today, and all of the power seems to be in the hands of the wicked. It is the wicked who are celebrated, who are put upon a pedestal, who seem to hold all the reins of power. And there seems to be no limit to their wickedness, nor does it seem to be any limit to their power at times. Now, on the side of righteousness and on the side of truth, as Christian believers, we look around and it just seems like we're on the losing end of it. So a lot of times when we say, well, we are on the winning team, we know how this ends and you know, victory is ours and we're on the winning side. It can kind of come off seeming like we're just simply trying to cope with the fact that we're always, we look around the world today and we're always losing. You know, we're always losing. Why is it that we're always losing? I mean, we talk a hell of a game about, you know, we're on the side of righteousness, and as Christian believers, we know that we're going to win this in the end, that we have chosen the winning team. But when we look around, it sure doesn't seem that way, does it? So I think really to answer the question and to think about it correctly, we have to get down to like some of the things that are a part of the fundamental nature of these things, wickedness and righteousness. You know, if we understand the fundamentals, then we can start to really understand that even though we look around, and it does right now, we look around and all this power seems to be in the hands of the wicked. You know, is the wicked that are just trampling over the righteous. We, the righteous, are this little small fragment that are just trying to hold it together and to try to stick to truth and righteousness and not to be swept away by the wickedness and the lies and the evil that is in this world. I think if we think about why wickedness is not stronger than righteousness, and really understand that without just coming off like we're just trying to deal with the fact to make ourselves feel better that, you know, after we die, we'll be winning, you know, because that can be really, that can be the way it comes off sometimes, you know. Well, after we leave this world, then we're finally winning. But is it really the case? I mean, is it the case of you know, that's the only time that we're in a stronger position? If we start to really, because one of the things that got me thinking about this, if you really consider the fundamental nature of wickedness and the inherent weakness built into wickedness, that it always becomes self-consuming and it always becomes self-destructive, whether you're talking about in an individual's life or in a society as a whole. Because remember, society as a whole or a nation or whatever is nothing. I mean, is nothing except the grand total of the sum of its parts. In other words, the grand total of the population. You can sit here and say America is a wicked nation, but that doesn't mean anything. America doesn't exist. What you're referring to is a gathering of people. Now, in traditional sense, obviously a nation would be a homogenous people, a race of people. If you had, I don't know, I'm going to pick a nation that's somewhat homogenous. Say Nigeria is pretty much homogenous with Nigerians. And if you looked at Nigeria and said, well, X applies to Nigeria, you would understand that that is a general, what do I want to say, an average sum total of the Nigerian people. The borders and the topography and the land, the geography, has nothing to do with it. You're taking an average. And people have a hard time grasping averages, don't they? Because when you talk about things and they say, well, I know this one guy. Well, yeah, we're talking about averages. You know, if you take a whole set of numbers, and I know math is hard. I've never been real good at it, but I understand basic math. If you take a whole bunch of numbers, add them together, and then divide them by the sum of how many numbers you have there, you get the average. If you wind up with a high average, then it's a high average, a low average. You know what I'm saying? You wind up with the average. We're talking about the average sum total. So you can sit there and say, well, America, for instance, is a wicked nation. And again, it obviously is. But what does that mean? Well, it means that on average, if you look at the average, the sum total of the population, it consists of wicked people. And you have to let that sink in. Because again, your average Christian believer, depending on where you're at in the country, but your average Christian believer is still going to sit here and thump around and talk about, say things like, you know, America's a Christian nation, you know, God bless America, so on and so forth. But if that's not what the averages tell us, it's sort of like people getting upset and you know, like if you point out, you know, the average crime statistics as it pertains to the black population and getting mad and upset and calling you racist and names and things like that and being in denial of, well, we're talking about the average. You know, your really nice black doctor doesn't have anything to do with it. We're talking about the average here. And again, your Christian believer sits there and tries to say that, you know, America is some sort of Christian nation. Well, no, we're talking about, I mean, maybe that, yes, there obviously are Christian people here that are trying to hold to righteousness and truth. But on the average, the reality is it is not a Christian nation. And again, we can't be those people that are offended, you know, because, oh, how dare you? That's not what I want it to be. You know, that is what the reality is. That's the reality of the nation that we live in. And whether you say America, obviously I'm in America, and I don't mean to be so America-centric, because really, if you're in the West, the same thing's going to apply. So when we consider that, you know, the state of a nation is the average total of where their population is. When you think about that, we can understand how the fact that wickedness plays out in the individual's life, and how it plays out in a nation's life is very much interconnected, isn't it? Because again, the nation is nothing more. When we're talking about, you know, the state of the nation, we're talking about the average sum total of the population. The point to this is, we're going to kind of go back and forth, I think, a little bit in our question and answering this question about the strength of wickedness versus the strength of righteousness. We're going to go back and forth between the nation state and how it pertains to individual people, and we're not conflating the two. You know, we're not getting mixed up, because the two are interconnected. So I think we can safely do that in our discussion and have it make sense. And I hope that makes sense I hope this makes sense for you up to this point. The thing about wickedness is it's like a cancer. God, that comparison hits home. It's like a cancer. You don't get a cancer. Why is a cancer a dangerous thing? Why is it a deadly thing? You get a cancer if you just simply got a tumor and, you know, it got yay big and then stopped, it wouldn't be a problem. When, you know, this cancer that I had growing on my skin, if it would have just stopped where it was, say, 2 or 3 years ago, and didn't grow anymore, it wouldn't have been a problem. I could have gone on the rest of my life with it and just not worried about it. But it's a problem. Why? Because it doesn't stop growing. And in fact, it hits a point to where it accelerates its growth. It consumes as much as it can around it, and then it basically explodes. It's got to go somewhere because it has to keep growing. It's like driven to keep growing. And it winds up what? Spreading all over your body. Well, then you wind up with tumors all over, which, by the way, I will soon have an answer whether that has happened for sure, verification one way or the other. Everything's looking good at this point. But the point is, when it spreads all over, then what? Then you start growing tumors on your organs. Again, though, why is that a detrimental thing? Well, because they keep growing. These tumors keep growing, and they don't do the job. You get a tumor growing on your liver, those cancer cells are not doing the liver cells' job. They're not doing that job. If they did, you would wind up with a huge tumor on your liver, and you'd have the world's most efficient liver. Wouldn't it be awesome? Maybe that's the problem. You know, they do all this studying to figure out how to kill and destroy cancer. Wouldn't it be cool if they figured out a way to make cancer cells do the job of the cells that they're attached to? So like if you had cancer growing on your liver, if they could make the cancer cells, reprogram the cancer cells to do liver cell job, you would wind up with the world's most efficient liver because you have this giant thing. In fact, you could be like, they'd be cutting off the cancer to implant it into other people that had liver failure. They would intentionally be giving people liver cancer that had failing livers so that they're, you know, because it's super efficient, it works good. But the problem is cancer doesn't do that. It doesn't perform the actual job of the cells that it's replacing. And it grows and grows, and soon your liver just fails because you have this thing on here now and it's been ate up. The liver has been eaten up by these cells that don't do anything like what it's supposed to. It grows and it becomes consuming. That's how wickedness is, whether it's in the individual or whether it's in the person. Do you notice as you look around your nation, where you live today? Yes, it's true. Power is in the hand of the wicked. The wicked, no matter, the more wicked, the more degenerate, the more it is celebrated, the more it is heralded. The righteous are told to shut up and keep their head down. They could get kicked. They could get accused of some sort of ism or some sort of thought crime. You could be more oppressed. Power is on the side of the wicked. And yet, have you noticed as you look around that the basic functions of a nation, the basic functions, the whole point of having a nation, the functions that are supposed to carry out, the benefit you are supposed to get from that, have you noticed they're falling off? You know, the mail, the mail delivery is not quite what it used to be. The streets aren't very good anymore. And all these things, you know, you're supposed to, the government is supposed to keep you safe. You exchange a certain amount. You make this, you're doing this, you're going along with the program because you think, well, the government is supposed to more or less keep us safe from crime and keep our streets nice and kind of just manage things. And yet you look and these basic fundamental functions, they're not happening anymore. They're happening less and less. We're seeing a breakdown in the function. You see, the cancer has grown to the point now that the liver's not doing its job very well anymore. Yes, there are still functioning liver cells, but this big-ass tumor that has grown on there and replaced the functioning cells with these cells that don't do anything except replicate themselves, just as wickedness just replicates itself. We're going to get to that here in just a minute. Stay with me. We're seeing, you're sitting around, and it's like, well, the wicked have all the power in this country. Look at the elites, the quote-unquote elites of the country. And you can just look at them without knowing the condition, what's going on in their personal lives. And you understand that there's some wicked assholes, right? They're really, really wicked. And yet they hold all of the power. It's consuming. You look around, and the functions of a society are breaking down. It's starting to fall apart. And this is the built-in weakness of wickedness. It's like a cancer. It's got to grow. It's got to get bigger. It's got to, it has to consume more and more. Understand that as Christian believers, when we look around at our society today and we make statements such as, well, this society, this nation as it exists right now, is going to collapse on itself. That statement is made from the standpoint of understanding the fundamental weaknesses built in to wickedness. When wickedness gets really rooted in somebody's personal life, and as I said at the beginning, we're going to kind of switch back and forth as far as talking about individuals in the nation, because the nation's a summary of the individuals that, you know, make it up, the population. When wickedness really gets a root in somebody's life, you notice that it never seems to actually plateau. If people don't get wicked to the point, it's like once wickedness takes over, you know, and I'm not talking about your day-to-day, you know, your day-to-day struggle with sin. I'm talking about people that give themselves over to wickedness. They love it. They enjoy it. It is what they want. This is the focus of their life. Their life is not a struggle against wickedness. Their life is a race to see how much wickedness they can involve themselves in, they can relish in, they can wallow in before it's over. That is the point of their lives. Let's say that again. As Christian believers, we understand, or we should understand, that the point of our lives is to struggle. Don't get discouraged. The point of your life is to struggle. You're not, as long as you're living and breathing and walking around on this earth, you should be becoming a better person. But the struggle is not an end until you breathe your last breath. It is always going to be a struggle. That's the point. That's why we're here. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Growing. That is how we grow. It is a struggle. Don't get confused. I'm not talking about your struggle with whatever sins you struggle with each day. I'm talking about those who don't struggle against it. In fact, the reason that you struggle seems strange to them. It seems foreign to them. Why would you do that? Wickedness is something to be embraced. Wickedness is something to go chasing after, to get down in, to wallow in. You know, you might have to walk across a big, you know, you may have no choice but to tiptoe your way across a big puddle of pig shit. And if you had to do that, what are you going to do? You're going to be like tippy-toeing, even though it doesn't really make any difference. You're tippy-toeing and you're like trying to go real fast. Like if you go real fast, you'll go across the top of it because you don't want it on you. For the wicked, they stop in the middle of it, lay down, roll around, eat it. There's no end to it. They want to consume more. When they give themselves over to wickedness, they chase it more and more. They've got to have it more and more. And there's no plateau for it. They give themselves over to this, but then that is not enough. Then they've got to do this. And then they're going to do this. And then they're going to do this. And usually, oftentimes, I should say, it plateaus with sometimes with a news story where somebody has done this weird, wicked, outlandishly wicked thing to the point that even this society arrests them and puts them in jail. Why? How did they get there? You know, how did they get to that point? Well, they didn't start there just out of the blue. They worked their way up to it. They started embracing wickedness on a smaller level, but then it had to have more to feed it. It had to have more. It had to consume more. It's like a drug addiction. Somebody starts off, they might do a little bit of dope. And they're, they're able to function. But what happens is then that same little bit of dope isn't enough to give them the high anymore. So they got to take a bigger dose. And then they got to take a bigger dose and a bigger dose than that and a bigger, bigger, bigger. And they're taking a huge dose. And then they're taking multiple different kinds of drugs. And the next thing you know, you're on your face on the street saying, I can't breathe. The point is, you got to take a bigger and bigger dose. And wickedness is the same way. Here's the thing. Whether it's in an individual's life or a nation's life, it's like piling up a rubbish heap. It's like you take all your garbage and you don't want to pay for trash pickup. So you just pile it up in your backyard. And you start just making a pile. And you ignore it. It's kind of in the back corner. You just ignore it. You keep piling your garbage up in the backyard. But the next thing you know, you have this huge mountain of garbage where it can't be ignored any longer. And eventually what? It crumbles. Eventually it topples over. It topples over and you get swept away in it if you're standing in the wrong place. When we talk about this escalation of wickedness, we're talking when you hear people, you know, when you yourself, you know, when you read or hear people reference, you know, the slippery slope. You know, we talk about the slippery slope. It starts with this and then becomes this and becomes this, you know. You're all familiar with the slippery slope. What we're really talking about isn't a slippery slope, because it's not necessarily a slippery slope. What we're really discussing is how wickedness is like a cancer and it has to grow and consume more, you see, as a society or for individual people. Oh, yeah, the slippery slope, we're sliding downhill. But what it really is this amount of wickedness is not enough. The society composed of the average of the population says has indulged in this much wickedness and it's not enough. They have to have more. We can think of it as a slippery slope and things are getting worse in that regard, but it's the natural outcome when as a population, they have to have more wickedness. They've embraced this much wickedness and now they have to have more. They've got to do more wickedness. That's why you see the latest whatever sexual degeneracy agenda has to be escalated. Now it's basically in the open that is moving on and being centered around children. There's a reason for that, because the wickedness has to consume more. It has to get more outlandish. But at some point in time, it does collapse on itself. It can, just like you can't just keep growing cancer in you forever. You know, at some point in time, everything fails and it falls down. At some point in time, you take enough drugs that you're going to be saying, I can't breathe on the street, and you're going to die. At some point in time, your society, everything that is supposed to function and it quits functioning and it stops and everything falls apart. At some point in time, your cancer tumor is so big that your liver shuts off and you die. That is how wickedness works. And that is the inherent flaw in it. If you compared cancer cells to normal cells, you'd say the cancer cells are stronger. They're growing fast. They take over the weaker cells. That's not the point of the cell. It doesn't do the job. And the cancer cells are weak because the whole point of the cells existing is for the body to stay alive. The weakness in the cancer cells is the fact that it's actually killing the very body that it lives in. And at the end of that, what? When the body dies, the cancer dies. Cancer always loses. You know, people talk about victory over cancer. The point of, you know, of course, what they really mean is I'm going to somehow, it's going to die and I'm going to stay alive. You know, it's like being in an airplane. You're going to land. You're going to land. Don't worry about that. If you're afraid of flying, you go fly for the first time and you're thinking, man, am I going to land? You will land. The point is, if you're going to be able to get off the plane and walk away, the plane is coming down. The cancer is going to die. Cancer loses at the end every time. Doesn't matter how aggressive a cancer you have. At some point in time, it loses, right? Why? Because once the body dies, the cancer cells die. That's how wickedness works for an individual and is how it works on a nationwide scale. It kills the host. When you hear professed Christian believers, probably of the Normicon persuasion, you quite naively talk about, God bless America, or, you know, saving America or turning America around, you know, absent any kind of context of understanding the collapse is coming. When they say things like, oh, America's great, America's our greatest days are still ahead, buddy. You just counting America out. They don't understand the fundamental principles of how wickedness works. They think if they vote for somebody else, the country's going to turn around. You know, the problem's Joe Brandon, right? The problem's Kamala Harris. The problem's Nancy Pelosi. The problem's whoever is in Washington, D.C. No. Those people don't matter in the big picture of things. The problem is the population, when you average it out on a whole, has embraced wickedness. And now you get to embrace the fundamental weakness of that, which means societal collapse. Because that's where wickedness always has to end, because it has to consume more. America's not going to morally. Do we look around at this society as a whole, which again is the sum average of the people? It's not this abstract thing out there. There's something that has nothing to do with you. It is you. It's all the people around you averaged up in the average state of the people. You might not like it. You know, I had somebody write to me one time, and maybe it was a LARPer. I don't know. I take people more or less at face value. I try to, you know, it's just the way you got to do. I had somebody write to me one time doing these shows, and they wrote to me and they said, man, I'm black. And, but I like listening to your show. And he says, you know, I look around at my fellow black people and I'm embarrassed. You know, it's a horrible thing. How do I deal with the state of my fellow people? And I said, well, just understand, you know, all you can do is, as I recall, my response was something along the lines of, just understand you're on the outlier side of it. You know, you're doing the right thing. You're living living your life the right way. I mean, the only thing you can control is where you're at, but you can't do anything about the sum average of your people. You know, if enough individuals improve themselves, yeah, you can change the sum average, but otherwise you can't. It's like that for all of us now. I mean, you listen to this show, you listen to this specific segment, you're probably, I would assume, you're part of the remnant. And you look at the sum average of the people. Look, the reality is the sum average of the people in this nation around you have embraced wickedness. That's why we are where we're at. That's why we are at where we are at. Not because of Joe Brandon. That is kind of a result. This is where the population has gone to. The population as a whole, on average, has embraced this wickedness. And now we get to reap the consequences of that. The population as a whole has embraced that. Yes, you're the remnant. You're the outlier. You know, and pat yourself on the back. Don't be discouraged. Pat yourself on the back. You're the outlier. You are living your life as right as you can. You are living your life the way you're supposed to. Just as I told the person that wrote to me, you are the outlier. Be proud of that. But you can't, you know, there's nothing you can do about the reality of the sum total of those around you. Well, now it's that way for all of us. I hope that makes sense. As a nation as a whole, that's the reality. We can't sit here and say America is a Christian nation. America is still better than any nation on earth. And America is going to somehow turn around. And if we just elect some different people and get some different people running the government, then everything will be fine. No, because the population has embraced wickedness as a whole on the average. You don't even really have to be. I mean, really, I'm thinking of this in a historical context. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, you really don't even have to be a Christian believer to understand this concept. If you look back through history, no society became so righteous. The people became so loving of truth and the people became so righteous that the whole society fell apart. There's not a single historical example. And yet, time and time again, you have historical examples over and over and over of societies that become more decadent, more wicked. They embrace every sort of debauchery and it grows and it grows. And over and over and over, the societies collapse time and time again. That's just a historical reality. If you're listening to this segment and you're not a Christian believer, you can look back at history and say, well, where's the example of a society that embraced righteousness and truth, and that righteousness and truth caused it to collapse? There aren't any. It's always the same pattern. Wickedness consumes the nation falls apart and ceases to function. And at the end of the day, what are you left with? It's like if you had a river and you built an earthen dam of pride, and the water builds up and the river swells and it leaves its banks and it grows until you look like you have a lake. And then at some point in time, that earthen dam collapses and all the water is swept away until once again, it's a shallow stream and you were left with the bedrock that was there all along, the bedrock in the bottom of the stream that wasn't moved. It might have looked like it was gone because the water covered it up and became so swollen and deeper and deeper. And it looked as though the bedrock is gone, and somebody who didn't know any better would say, well, look, the bedrock has been swept away. But it wasn't. When it all collapses, when it's all washed away, at the end of the day, there you find where it always was. There's the bedrock planted firmly. That is what you were left with, and that is the righteous. It can seem like wickedness is stronger than righteousness because it can become so overwhelming. But at the end of the day, righteousness is like that bedrock. It stays rooted in its place. It stays where it is supposed to be because it doesn't change. It isn't fleeting. It isn't something that comes and goes. It stays rock solid. You know, it's what remains regardless of what pressures are exerted upon it. And that is the role of the righteous. And in this is the strength of righteousness. This is the strength of truth. It doesn't waver and change. You notice how lies always have to change and shift and they become something else the next day because they're not rooted in any sort of reality. The strength of righteousness, the strength in truth, is that it remains the same. The person that tells the truth doesn't have to remember and concoct a new story to answer the next question. They just simply stick with the truth. You know, because it doesn't waver around. It doesn't change. And such as righteousness, such as truth, it remains grounded. It remains the same. And when all of this other collapses in on itself and is all washed away and it all is swept away in a swell of destruction, at the end of the day, the bedrock remains. And in this, we find the true strength of righteousness. We got to wrap up the show on that note. I hope this does help the discussion. I hope you got something out of it. It's always the plan that you'll get something. I hope you did. And anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. Appreciate you joining us this week. And as always, I'm on Fridays for the Daily Nationalist with Sven Longshanks. So if you haven't checked that out, check it out. It's always a fun discussion. It's fairly short shows when they're usually around 30 minutes. So, you know, make a little time. You'll want to share and check that out. And as always, you want to come back here to check us out next Tuesday for the Parish of the Patriots.